Good morning, dear saints, and welcome to Thy Strong Word. Today's Monday, October 29th, and you're listening to the program where each weekday morning we explore the Holy Scriptures through which God bespeaks us righteous and nourishes our faith. I'm your host, Pastor Phil Boo of St. John Lutheran Church in Luverne, Minnesota. Well, Thy Strong Word is underwritten by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. I always love sharing the good news that they share. The good news. They are a wonderful resource both for the kingdom and for our little corner of God's kingdom here in Lutheranism, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Through their translation, publishing, and distribution efforts, they share the Word of God with those who don't otherwise have access to such wonderful resources in their own languages. So whether it's around the globe or just down the street, they have resources that can help you to minister to those who perhaps don't speak English. You can visit them online at lhfmissions.org to learn more about all of their great work. And as we go into our text for today, well, it's not exactly a text, but I want you to keep the email in mind, thystrongword@kfuo.org. But here's the deal. You know, we like to do Free Text First Fridays on this show. Well, we are doing 4 days of First Text, First Friday Free Text, First Free. What in the world? I need to think of a better name. Let's be honest. We're going to do a whole series of free text episodes. I'm going to call it the All Hallows mini-series. So this All Hallows mini-series is going to tackle 4 topics in and around the subject of Halloween, right? So it's spooky season. It's upon us. But what does that mean for the Christian? We're going to look at the mysteries and myths and meaning behind these days of All Hallows. We're going to talk about, well, today, Halloween. And then tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit more about ghosts and hauntings and the occult. Then on Thursday, we're going to tackle the truth and separate it from the fiction about angels and demons. And then finally, on Friday, it's All Hallows Day. That's right. Friday, November 1st is All Saints Day, also known as All Hallows Day. We're going to talk about the afterlife. So lots to explore and learn around this season. We're going to see how the world has once again tried to wrest away Christian themes and make them something they're not. And many Christians out there are concerned about, you know, is it okay to celebrate All Hallows Eve, also known as Halloween? Well, we'll talk about that today specifically. So please help me welcome my guest for this morning. It's the Reverend Rick Schneider. He's the pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana, to talk to us about Halloween. Good morning, Pastor Schneider.
Good morning.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the show. So today's topic is going to be very specifically Halloween, and we're going to hopefully answer some questions about it, perhaps like, you know, where does this come from? Is it from ancient Celtic customs, Samhain, or All Saints Day? How does Martin Luther fit in? Is this a Christian holiday? Is it a cult holiday, a pagan holiday that Christians should avoid at all costs? I hope we're going to answer some of those questions today. I'm glad to have you on the show for it.
Hey, it's good to be joining you this morning.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go ahead and open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump in. How's that?
Okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to get together and talk about these things, to try and distinguish what is real and what is not, which is always a challenge these days. Please be with us, guide our speech, guide our discussions, and open the ears of those who would hear so that they can understand what little bit does need to be feared and how much they've been misled into fearing the non-scary parts. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen, sir. All right. I just spilled my water all over my console here, so that's why I had a pause there. All right, but I'm back. I'm focused. Thank you for leading us in a prayer. You know, a lot of people would probably be praying for us because we're talking about spooky Halloween things. I'll tell you what, why don't we just kick it off by, I guess, talking about what are we up against here? What is the perception of Halloween in the culture? I think we should start there.
It's scary. We have a lot of people who welcome it for all of the wrong reasons. We have a lot of people who are scared to death of it for all of the wrong reasons. They think that, depending on where you go and who you talk to, some people think that the veil that separates the worlds is thinnest at Beltane and at Samhain, which is what they're trying to say Halloween is. But, well, the latter one anyway. But that's a misconception. The worlds are what the worlds have been. There's no special day when things get spookier or darker than any other day, despite what they would have us believe.
Mm-hmm. And all days are the Lord's, right?
Every day is the Lord's. He is the creator, even of days.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we have this Halloween. It shows up on October 31st. And I think, you know, when we talk about Halloween, there are a couple groups. You're right. We have those folks who are like, well, you know, I'm going to use this occasion to kind of get in touch with dark spirits, even if they're kind of just doing it tongue in cheek, or they might really kind of be edgy folks and they want to play on the dark side of life. And people do that. Then, of course, there are folks who, you know, it's a kid's holiday. We dress up the kids like Iron Man and princesses, and we send them out there and they collect candy from their neighbors. And then sort of in between, you have folks who are, well, I don't like Halloween, mostly because I just don't like to go buy candy and have people knock on my doors so they have their lights off. And then you have folks on, you know, there's so many different opinions. Then you have folks who are desperately afraid of it and say, you know, it's a sin for Christians even to participate in the candy part. And then I got to share with you from my upbringing, growing up down south, a lot of the churches were very much against the customs of Halloween, even sort of the modern kind of sillier ones. And so they would often replace, say, things like haunted houses with what was called hallelujah houses. So instead of going in and being scared by witches and goblins, they would scare you with the dangers of drunk driving and drugs and doing things against God's will. Even as a young teen, I remember thinking those things were pretty trite and pretty misguided. So, yeah, just, you know, Halloween today, as I think most people understand it, it is simply, I guess, not what is being portrayed, no matter how you try to celebrate it. So I think let's talk about the origins then. So if people think that it has some ancient origins way back in pagan cultures, how would you respond to that? Like, give us the rundown.
I would respond by laughing uproariously and trying to contain myself so that I could have a serious conversation. That may not seem appropriate, but I have read so much about this on both sides of it that it just really shocks me how gullible people can be without ever looking anything up.
Right.
Can I go in just a slightly different direction?
Sure, go ahead. Which direction would you like to go, brother?
Let's talk about All Hallows Tide. Are you familiar with the All Saints Tide?
Right.
Or the Hallowmas season.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-day period. It's a some of the writings, especially from the our brethren over on the Catholic side of things, call it a triduum, which is something we hear most often with Easter, but it just means 3 days. We've got, and it starts, of course, with All Hallows Eve, which is the 31st. Then you have All Saints Day, and then you have All Souls Day. And the reason I got off on this tack was one of the questions that you had sent me. See if I can grab it real quick. Oops, wrong document. Did the celebration of All Souls Day influence Halloween practices?
Right, right.
I had to go back and look at that because All Souls Day is not a real common thing for Lutherans.
No, we kind of combined those into our All Saints Day practices, right?
We kind of have, but we haven't because All Souls Day is a traditional Catholic day. in which they gather and pray for those people who died a holy death and yet await full redemption in purgatory.
Sure, right.
And we don't believe that. But so you've got that going backwards that way. There actually is an octave of All Hallows Tide, which came from, was established in 1430 by Pope Sixtus the Fourth, blah, 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 and was eliminated in 1955 in the reforms of the Catholic Church. But that's kind of how our beginning is. And I don't think it ever hurts to know a little more history than we maybe need.
Mm-hmm.
We can kind of,
oh, sure.
So we can't be caught unawares, I guess is the best way to say that. But going from there into talking about Samhain, how did you pronounce that word? S-A-M-H-A-I-N.
I mispronounced it, but I just pronounced it phonetically.
Okay. Yeah. From the Celtic lands, Welsh and things of that nature, nothing is ever pronounced phonetically, I have found.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. But anyway, Samhain is the common thing. If you start digging into the history of that, it gets kind of fascinating because we actually have a Celtic calendar dated from the 2nd century AD. It's called the Kalingi calendar. Mm-hmm. And they've put things together with, they've started working on it. And one of the things that they have discovered from that is that Samhain wasn't a thing.
Right, right, right.
It didn't exist.
That's missed a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll talk more about that in a minute, I think.
Sure. Well, but, let me follow up a little bit about, you talked about the Triduum of All Hallows Tide, right? And you said, yeah, we typically think of this at Easter or Holy Week, where we have the Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then of course the Easter sunrise service. Now, when we think about these different days, I think it's also important for folks to know that on the one hand, we began at the beginning by saying, listen, all days are the Lord's. He made them all. And we also have permission from God, though, to celebrate certain days, to recognize days as significant, not for spiritual or metaphysical reasons, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with holidays and marking traditions. I think that some cultures, or even so-called Christian cultures, might have it against any kind of celebration. Maybe perhaps they think it takes away from focus on God. So the All Hallows Tide and Halloween connection, I think, is interesting, and that's why I wanted to dig in. You know, All Saints Day was actually originally on May 13th, funny enough, and it was moved to November 1st by Pope Gregory in the 8th century. And some people say that this was done as an alternative to pagan celebrations. Now, whether that's true or not, one thing I always like to let people know is it doesn't matter. Who cares? I mean, why wouldn't we try to take those who are worshiping falsely and redirect them toward Christ? So even if at the end of the day, this had some sort of origins in a pagan ritual that, you know, some pope back in the 8th century wanted to try to override with Christianity, we do that all the time. On the other hand, you're absolutely right. When you dig into the history, though, you find out a lot of this stuff is made up. And in fact, even a lot of the so-called ancient traditions around Halloween, I'm sure you'll share with us, they don't exactly, they're kind of new. Let's just put it that way. They don't exactly find their source in history. But All Saints Day, All Hallows Day, Halloween or honoring the dead, keeping something holy, right? God, hallowed be thy name, right? We see that there's more of a connection to All Hallows Eve, which eventually became the word Halloween, with the Christian festival of All Saints Day, All Hallows Day. So I think that's something really important. And by the way, real quick on All Souls Day, we certainly don't pray for people like who are in purgatory, because we don't find that in Scripture. But at the same time, I think as All Hallows Tide and there were other local customs became popular throughout Europe, we see that as the Lutherans came on board, we did kind of incorporate All Souls Day into our All Saints Day practices, not, of course, the false practices. But you see this in churches today where everybody will pray for their loved one who has passed away. Maybe in the last year, the whole congregation will do it and ring bells. We have prayer candles that I have people light if they should so choose. So, you know, remembering the dead, certainly those who are in heaven, is not a sinful practice. I guess that's sort of what I wanted to throw out there.
Right. Just another quick note on that. All Souls Day did not exist prior to the 10th century. It was instituted by Saint Odilo of Cluny as the day that we were speaking of, where people would pray for the souls of their deceased family members who were waiting in purgatory.
Yes, correct. Yep.
And it's interesting that that's morphed into something else too. We, most commonly, I think what we see a lot of here is the Dia de la Muerta or de los Muertos, the day of the dead that has come to us mostly out of Mexico, which is a huge celebration. And I think that can cause some problems because you get into blended religions. I don't like the concept of, I know that the church, the one church has done it over the years and over the centuries. I don't like the blended holidays theory because a lot of times things will be incorporated from an animistic or pagan religion and Christianized without ever saying that's just not Christian and we don't do that.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think it causes problems and causes people to misunderstand what it is they believe in.
A perfect example of that is just what you're talking about, the Dia de la Muerta, and that is that one of the practices they have is to set up little altars in their homes to their decedents. And we see them maybe leaving food or saying little prayers. One of the issues with that, though, we see, though, is not only is it a fairly unchristian practice, many say Protestants, thoroughly Protestant folks who would condemn such Catholic practices, or in that case, a very unique Mexican Catholic practice, would say things like, well, that's just, you know, it's ancestor worship. And indeed it is. We see some of those kinds of things sneak into to the church, but mostly the Roman Catholic Church. I'm going to be honest. We see them practice a lot of those things. You go into any Catholic supply and they'll have little altars to saints. Certainly they pray to saints. One of the things that we talked about continuously on this show as we distinguish ourselves and our confessions from theirs. But we also see these little shrines to family members. And, you know, then you have that careful line to walk, because then some folks will say, well, you know, I have icons. I have icons in my office. I just like I have pictures of my family in my office. But I certainly don't pray either to the people that those icons or pictures represent, nor do I leave little food offerings for them. But back to my original thought, there are some who are thoroughly Protestant, and yet they'll do practices like, well, Grandpa passed away last year, so I'm going to leave out a plate at the table for him to in memory of him. Or you go into a restaurant and you have that table set aside for all the soldiers who have died and in battle. And there are all kinds of practices, both sacred and secular, that often come about because of this, as you were talking about, this sort of blending of holidays. So I thoroughly agree that we should make sure that everything we do is consistent with our faith. But also recognize that it's probably more widespread than you think.
Indeed. So you're trying to put together long sentences into short form. When you talk about things like that, the icons and things of that nature, kind of comes back to the practices of All Saints Day and to a lesser extent, All Souls Day. We don't seek anything from those who have gone before, who are no longer with us, those who have died. But we do remember them. We remember there's nothing wrong with having a memory of a good time you had with your grandfather.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with remembering the commitment that the military, that certain military members have made, up to and including giving their life for their country and for our safety. There's nothing wrong with remembering the saints and their faith. I mean, you know, martyrology is a thing. You know, the study of the martyrs, not to emulate them necessarily, but to study the strength of their faith and to pray that we too might have that strength if we face that time of oppression. Is that making sense?
Oh, yeah, of course. We're all in agreement. Yep, absolutely.
But it goes back to something I heard when I got here, you know, fresh from the seminary 8 years ago. I kind of wish I knew half as much as I thought I knew when I graduated, but
right,
we can't fix that. But, you know, some of the things we bring with us, I was confronted with, you know, you can't have a crucifix. That's too Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
People come up with these things, or they've been told these things, and they grasp them without any thought and say, well, it must be so. But to use your icons, our icons, you know, we don't pray to these people, but we do look at them and say, wow, look at what they did for the faith. And, you know, we don't pray to them. We don't pray for them, but we can pray for ourselves that their behavior can be a guideline for us.
And so when we think about the different practices we do, I think I'm one of those people also that believes that everything we do, especially if it's regarding public worship, but even in our private devotion, should be something that is either teaching someone the faith, confessing the faith, or strengthening what we believe in the faith. And so I actually admire those Christians who say, well, you know, I'm suspicious of things like the Halloween practices because I'm worried that they might be connected to, you know, ancient pagan or Celtic or whatever festivals. So with a view toward that, then, you said that we didn't see some of those festivals in the record really early, but Halloween today, kids are going door to door. They're dressing up, sometimes in spooky costumes. People are hanging spider webs and, you know, a lot of fall imagery, but also we have skeletons and monsters. And we seem to have a fascination with death, which is the common thread that we're seeing connected between things like All Saints Day and All Souls Day. And all of that sort of taken into concert, I wonder if the reason why we have so many festivals and ceremonies, right or wrong, around the concept of death, it reflects that human struggle with the curse that we all bear. And so Halloween is an expression of that, whereby one could either try to interact with the dead in ways that are inconsistent with God's design, or mock the devil and demons and the so-called monsters of the world through frivolous fun activities. How do you see sort of those two things playing out in culture? And, you know, how should Christians understand the history of Halloween as it applies to us today?
The history of Halloween is short-lived. I think we need to understand that. And almost nobody I talk to does. You know, you talk to your local pagan cashier at the Stop and Rob, and they will tell you, you know, they have this long history that's been fabricated, and they're convinced that they're right, and they really they don't want the proof that there may be something much simpler. You can always make something into whatever you want it to be. And I think we need to remember that a lot of times it takes a lot of effort to do that. Sure. There are definite practices that should not be followed. You know, pagan worship, witchcraft, things of those nature, they're real, they all exist, but you don't have to fall into those in order to have a good time. You know, you don't have to be afraid of Halloween. You don't have to be afraid to wear a costume. I would hazard a guess and say most people don't think about why they wear a costume, and maybe they should, You know, if little Johnny wants to dress up as Frankenstein for whatever reason for Halloween, ask him why. I don't think he's trying to emulate anything. He probably just thinks that's a cool costume to wear.
Right.
And
right.
There's nothing wrong with getting him a Frankenstein costume or making him a costume in that case.
Exactly. Oh, no, exactly. I tell you what, we're up against a break, but I think the takeaway so far is pretty simple, right? I mean, the origins of Halloween really cannot be traced back to any sort of mystic, ancient, pagan festivals. Were there festivals during harvest seasons? Of course. Were there beliefs that the veil between the spiritual world and the physical world is thinner at certain points of the year? Yeah, we see that in pagan cultures. Has some of that crept into Christian belief? Well, in some cultures, absolutely. And should we be aware of it? For sure. But even All Saints Day, which didn't come around to like the 7th century, the 11th century, we get All Souls Day, which we either reformed or threw out, however you want to look at it. But really, All Hallows Eve was celebrated for a long time in the church as that preparation for All Saints Day, which is the next day. And it included festivals, sometimes costumes or dressing up or even going from door to door was not just a Halloween thing, but a kind of a pretty typical practice of students and other people in Europe. So we see a lot of these practices kind of consolidate in the modern time and, let's be honest, commercialized. And so I get people's desire for being careful, but I would go ahead and contend that many people, I think, have bought into some of the false beliefs about the origins of Halloween. And as a result, they're really kind of avoiding celebrating the Christian holiday, which I know we love it for it to be Reformation Day. And we're going to talk about that when we get back from the break. But the truth is, we're kind of missing out on All Saints Day by rejecting All Hallows Eve. So lots to talk about more when we get back from this break, so don't go anywhere, folks. Pastor Schneider and I will see you on the other side.
These are the voices of young Lutherans in Mexico City, children who are excited to learn more about their Savior, Jesus. But they need our help, because good Lutheran books for kids in the Spanish language are in short supply in Mexico. To learn how you can help tell Spanish-speaking kids everywhere about Jesus in a language they can understand, go to the Lutheran Heritage Foundation website at lhfmissions.org/Juan316.
Welcome back to Thy Strong Word. I'm your host, Pastor Phil Boo. If you have a question or comment or thought inspired by our discussion today, I'd love for you to be a part of the conversation. You can send me an email at thystrongword@kfuo.org. More casually, you can find me on X at Pastor Boo and also on Facebook. My guest for this morning is the Reverend Rick Schneider, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana, and we are talking about Halloween. In the first half of the show, we talked about, well, how Halloween doesn't really find its origins in ancient traditions so much as people might want you to believe. But in fact, it's very much around the worship of God and praying for those who have departed. The Triduum, our guest explained, of All Hallows Eve and All Souls, All Hallows Day, which is All Saints Day, and All Souls Day on November 2nd, that kind of forms the basis for some of the practices we do today. So as we're moving on, though, one of the things we Lutherans, I think, might be pretty unique with us, maybe some other Protestants do it too, in fact, I know some of them do, is that we celebrate on Halloween or All Saints Eve or All Hallows Eve, however you want to say it, we celebrate Reformation Day. I think it's not because of any attempt to try to dissuade people from Halloween, but I see that being used a lot, right? Don't celebrate Halloween, celebrate Reformation Day. Don't put candy in kids' baskets, but put little mission tracts and Jesus loves you and small catechisms. And I guess my argument would be, if you're going to do that, at least throw in some candy too, right? Let's be honest. But Reformation Day falls on All Saints Eve or All Hallows Eve for a pretty particular reason, wouldn't you say? I mean, I think Luther's timing was not accidental. What do you think?
His timing was not accidental, but to ask, to try and read anything into Luther and Halloween is what Bob Ross would call a happy little accident.
Right, exactly.
No intent there. The thing that we miss out on, I think, in these latter days, is the life of the church. All days like All Saints Day, days like any number of things, commemorations of the apostles, there were masses held in the churches. Life revolved around the life of the church. As Luther was going in with his questions, you know, this was not his mighty declaration to do anything. This was quite a list of questions.
Yep.
When he went there, the reason that he put it there was because there would be a mass held in the church in Wittenberg on All Saints Day.
Right.
The big red church doors, I presume they were red, were the bulletin board for the community. If you want everybody to see your questions, and if you want to make sure that the church officials see your questions, the best place to put them is on the community bulletin board.
Right.
And they were posted on October 31st in preparation for everybody who comes to Mass seeing this list of 95 questions, asking why the church does the things the church does.
And I think that's so missed by people, because I've even heard, like I said, modern Lutherans today who will say things like, well, you know, this is a good attempt for us to try to get away from any of these horrible Halloween celebrations. And as you said, had nothing to do with it. In fact, you know, Luther wanted to debate those theses, so he puts them where people will see them, and he puts them up at a time when lots of people will see them coming into, as you said, into the divine service on that All Saints Day. So there'd be extra people there. So yeah, that connection to Luther has nothing to do with Halloween or Reformation Day, doesn't have anything to do with Halloween, except for just the timing. So I really do, I guess, want to make sure people understand and emphasize that, you know, the things that people have made out of Halloween are often a result of just our own sinful nature to try to take things or use opportunities to sin. Those people, like, for instance, when I was growing up, Halloween was often depicted as a time when the Stranger Danger movement was just taking off, and there were going to be people who put things into your candy, right? So you'd have razor blades and needles, and people were taking them to the emergency departments around the country to have their candy x-rayed. And it turns out there's no evidence that ever even happened. Then there was the satanic panic of the 80s, and I think it went into the 90s too, where you had to keep your black cats in, and there were all these different cults out there operating. And, well, yet again, we never really found any great evidence of that kind of stuff. And so I think most of the, I guess, the problems around Halloween in some ways have kind of been invented by Christians themselves. I don't know. That's my thought. Do you agree, or what do you think?
Yes and no. I think I may have a few years on you, Pastor Boo. But I do remember when the razor blades were found in the candy. And it was one incident, or maybe two or three incidents, that were isolated in one city, 1 year. But we all see, I mean, I'm not sure how much younger than you are, but this thing has grown and taken on a life of its own.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I think that was the point I was making, right? In 1968, police found razor blades in Halloween apples in Toronto, Canada. And there was another documented instance in 1974 in Deer Park, Texas, where a kid was poisoned by eating pixie sticks that was given out by an eye doctor. Some other things happened. In 2017, there was an incident. 2019, another incident. 2022, there were two incidents. Of course, those are well after the concept was invented. So, yeah, it seems like what we see a lot is actually copycats in recent times going after the sort of poisoned or adulterated candy myths. But, yeah, it's there really aren't any documentations besides one or two isolated incidents. But I guess my point is, you know, you take stuff like that and then you add that to the satanic panic. You add that to, you know, sort of Christians wanting to be extra pure, which is not a bad thing. But and then you remove from the church calendar, as you also pointed out, that we don't really even know the ebbs and the flows of how the church lectionary and liturgy and calendar has led us through these centuries. And once you're disconnected from all of that, yeah, it opens up the door to all these things. Plus, of course, TV and 24-hour news cycles that need to fill time. And now, of course, the internet. So there's so many variables that allow myths to be spread. I think a lot of Christians have been, not physically harmed by them, but kind of, I don't know, certainly emotionally harmed. There are Christians out there who, despite what we'll say, might write in and say, nope, no matter what you say, you're celebrating a pagan holiday, even if your daughter is dressing up like a princess. But I think the goal of this episode is that I just want people to know, yeah, that history. And yeah.
Like so many things, it's like a awful game of telephone like we played when we were younger.
Right.
You know, everything grows and becomes more obnoxious. Usually superseding anything that was originally said.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Halloween. Would you say it's a Christian holiday? Not as it's practiced, but perhaps as it should be practiced.
A Christian holiday exists. I don't think there is anything wrong with dressing up and getting candy. I do think children should come to your door and sing for the candy like they did back in days of yore. That'd be a lot more entertaining. But
make them work for it.
Yeah, there you go. But there's nothing evil in the practice itself. There are evil things that occur just like there are evil things that occur at on any other given day. But I don't think it's anything we need to run away from.
No. Well, what's really interesting, I think, that people may or may not know is that some of these things, like specifically the costumes and the concept of going from door to door, as you said, singing, jack-o'-lanterns, haunted houses, these things that you really kind of, I think, at least today, that's the first things that pop into your mind when this time of a year comes. Those evolved primarily, believe it or not, folks, in North America, right here at home, in the 19th and 20th centuries. See, that they blended traditions that reflected cultural and, of course, commercial, and they threw in some religious stuff, too. And then they said it during a time when the church would have also been observing and remembering its dead. So I think it doesn't take a ton to connect these ideas. You took some Middle Ages practices of people dressing up on All Hallows Eve. They typically would do that to ward off or make fun of spirits. And then in North America, you then have immigrants from Scotland and Ireland coming in. And that's kind of what happened. They brought in this idea of dressing up, and it becomes less and less about scaring off wicked, evil spirits, which it does have some roots in non-pre-Christian customs. But then it turns into, of course, these spooky, fantastical, whatever kind of costumes kids want to wear. I think that another practice that's come in too is this idea of souling. Did you look up? Did you find anything about souling in England? I thought this was interesting.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember where I saw it, because I had read something several years ago, and then it came back up in my research now. Mm-hmm. It was, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to try and do this from the hip. It was a practice of the young people. They would go, primarily the poor children, they would go around, and in exchange for a treat, they would offer to pray for the souls of the departed.
Exactly. Yeah. They kind of had their own little, it's in England, I think mostly, but they had their own little mm-hmm. enterprise going on where they would get food and they'll pray for your loved one. And that's where we could start to connect it to All Souls Day, as you were saying. You know, we're going to try to, we can pray for your loved one to be springed out of purgatory if you just give us a little food. And yeah, not a bad con, you know, but at the same time, of course, we can see that influence even in trick-or-treating, but just so much of those kind of things, especially the themes of horror around Halloween, right? Horror films and the gothic literature, haunted houses, all of that is, yeah, it's a Halloween mainstay, but that's 1960s is when those things started to really solidify in America.
Yeah. Two definite moves in the realm of the houses of the period. The first haunted house was from a fundraiser for a civic group in the early 70s, maybe. And then I didn't look into it, but somewhere along the way, we came up with what is commonly referred to as hell houses or judgment houses, which comes out of the fundamentalist Christian groups, where I think you mentioned at the top of the show, they were, they would provide an alternative,
right?
And they would quite literally try to scare the devil out of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like instead of scaring people with witches and goblins, we're gonna just terrify them with God's law. Well, the problem is,
yes.
The gospel never came. The gospel didn't come, you know.
Yeah, and I think we need to take a second and give them their due. I think a lot of what we face now, and a lot of what has grown over the years, came out of such things as chick tracks. Much like the hell houses, they were law-filled documents, little pocket documents, and they put the worst possible construction on everything. And I think they drew pictures in people's minds, and that's where a lot of what we hear and a lot of what bothers us about these celebrations actually came from. I don't think the majority of people would have thought about all of those things unless they were handed a piece of paper that depicted all of those things.
You know, that's an interesting point, and one that I didn't make the connection of. You know, chick tracks were also a staple of my Christian culture down south. And, you know, my favorite one is the one against Dungeons and Dragons. They actually made a movie. But in any case, you know, these chick tracks, you're right. I think that's the best way to describe them, too. It's not even that some of them were necessarily wrong. It's just that they were the worst construction, law-based, and even the call to action on them was law-based, right? You need to now turn and come to Christ or give your heart to Christ, et cetera, et cetera. That's interesting. Jack Chick probably is responsible for a lot of that, or at least disseminating it. Down south, you know, again, people would put tracks into the Halloween baskets. It's kind of like, well, we don't want to participate in Halloween, but we're going to turn our light on, and if you come, then we're going to lecture you for you doing it. Sort of reminds me of after church growing up, we'd go down to the restaurant, and then the preacher, as he was ordering, would lecture the waitress on working on Sunday. It's like, it's a little hypocritical. We have to be careful. So, I think that some of these things that people need to understand are very modern, especially the objections. But at the same time, you would agree, though, that there are practices that we should absolutely avoid. Now, some of those we're going to talk about tomorrow, but just even touching on them now, things like Ouija boards and trying to contact the dead or going ghost hunting or going to graveyards. Not for the purposes of honoring the dead or praying for your loved ones or giving thanks for them, but rather to go and try to stir up spirits or evil spirits. I think that even though a lot of what people experience as paranormal ends up being fairly explainable. They just don't know the explanation. There is a small percentage of that could very well be interacting with the very real spiritual world of demons and other things. So not to connect it, you know, just whole cloth to Halloween, but there are practices people do, and they take this advantage of this time of year that really even Christians should not participate in. What do you think some of those are?
Anything that one would do to try and discover knowledge that is not easily attainable, divination, the tarot, for example, tarot cards, the runes that are read, the Ouija board, any of those methods, spellcraft, people using spells to make things happen, people writing their own spells to make things happen, which we have a fair amount of going on where we live. Anything like that, you're asking for help, but you're asking the wrong people, because the demons are more than happy to help to suit their own ends. You know, they love to help, but they don't want to help you. They want to help themselves.
Of course.
And if they can delude you into thinking that they're working for you while you're giving them what they want, they're more than happy to oblige you. But people dabble a lot in mystical things, and they're the dangerous ones, because they do it half-heartedly. They don't know that the things they do may actually have an effect until after it's had an effect, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. Before it's too late. Yeah, no. I hear that. You know, and we're going to talk again more about this specifically in tomorrow's episode. But when we think about these kinds of occultic practices, oftentimes they'll be dismissed in the same way that we might say, well, yes, in the past, people might have dressed up like certain things to scare off demons. Even Christians would do this sort of frivolously, but they also lived during a time when they really understood and believed in these otherworldly beings, as the Bible actually clearly tells us exist. But then that we do find some of that in other cultures, and so there'll be people today that say, well, even if you're just dressing up like Iron Man or one of the Frozen princesses or whatever, that's still following in those steps. Then other people will leap though and say, well, even though we're doing a seance or trying to do the Ouija board, oh, it's just teenagers and it's just them at a sleepover and it's just good fun. They don't really believe in it. You can see where those two messages can kind of get conflicted, where we say, well, it's just good fun, but then they would argue the same thing. Maybe explain for folks, especially parents out there who might have teenagers interested in this kind of thing, how do we counsel them and teens to say, you know, even if you think there's nothing to it, this is still dangerous for you and your faith. How would we explain that?
Well, the most obvious one is to go back to King Saul and the Witch of Endor. You know, I don't think either one of them expected anything to happen.
Certainly not the witch.
They went through the motions. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, never mind who showed up. That's a whole other conversation. Right. But somebody came. She conjured something up. And, you know, there's your example. You know, even when you don't expect anything to happen, when you undergo the practice, something bad may really happen. And we don't have any governance over whether that happens or not, other than avoiding the practice.
It is good to
spend time. Yeah. The biggest thing you can do is spend time with your kids. They should be comfortable telling you the strange things that are going on, because there are a lot of them. And hopefully you will have the kind of rapport with your children that when you say, you know, this is really bad, we shouldn't do this. And then you can take them and find the examples. Being open with them, hoping that they'll be open with you, and just telling them, these are bad things that are done, or these are practices that lead to bad results, and here are the examples of why they're bad results. And then hustle them back into the faith even more firmly. Let's sit down and let's read about this. Let's read about these things, and let's read about why, by avoiding those, we're protected.
Well, we've talked a lot about the origins of Halloween, about how a lot of the things that people are scared of today are fairly modern inventions, and they don't really find too much root in ancient pagan practices. And even those things that do, it's easy for you to avoid those, right? But look at through everything through your Christian lens. Anything else in these last few minutes, though, that you just want to make sure that people understood about Halloween, or anything else you want to cover as we wrap up our show today?
I want to go back and visit Samhain for just a second.
Okay, go ahead, yeah.
The calendar from the 200s AD, no mention of it at all. When it first shows up, it was around 1200 AD. It was a season of the year. There wasn't a specific celebration at that time. Anytime you want to try and connect it with All Saints Day, All Saints Day happened in the West, far west of there, and was practiced earlier than any sort of holiday or festivity or seasonal event that was practiced in the Celts, by the Celts in the islands. And just don't buy it. And just a word of caution to everyone: if you try and go and search this, be very careful, because there is so much misinformation out there. People like the History Channel, people like the library, the blog at the Library of Congress, all of them are misspeaking. They've all fallen into the trap of believing that our holy day was derived from a pagan day that didn't exist at that time.
Right, right. Yeah, All Hallows Eve is the eve of All Saints Day, which was originated in the 7th century. And the festival that you're speaking of, which I cannot pronounce, it was around the 10th or 11th century. So yeah, it came much later and was... all those connections were made later. We could have the same conversation when it comes to Christmas because, again, I think there's a lot of, you say misinformation, you're absolutely right. I would even be a little less charitable and say intentional disinformation by those forces that would want to either make Christians uncomfortable or to limit their Christian freedom, or even Christians who are out there and they have their own sort of agenda for wanting to do away with these things. I think we have to be just very careful. If you don't want to practice Halloween, wonderful, right? You're free in Christ to do that. If you do want to practice Halloween, then you're free in Christ to do it, so long as, of course, your practice is God-pleasing. It's easy to do that. But we're here at the end of the show, and so I'm going to just thank my guests so much for being on the program this morning. I really appreciate it. Let me see here. All right. Just make sure I get all my notes. Everything's taken care of. Officially, it's the Reverend Rick Schneider, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Again, brother, thanks for being on the show.
And thank you for having me.
Folks, tomorrow we'll have the Reverend Tim McCall, and he's going to come on and talk specifically about ghosts, hauntings, and the occult. We do dip in a little bit into Dia de Muerta, but we actually talk a little bit about his mother's culture. She's Filipino. She was Filipino. She's with the Lord now. But there are some practices there that, even Pastor McCall says, some are good, some are bad. We have to be careful. Well, we also talk about, the reality of ghosts and what are they? All kinds of good stuff. Come back tomorrow. It's going to be at the same time. Until then, may God's peace and blessings be with you all as we pray, Father, keep us in thy strong word.